Open your Bibles with me, please, this morning to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, begin reading in verse 24. I would love to have read the chapter before this and led you all right up to the climax of our text. And as he thus spake for himself, that's Paul, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The events that are set forth in this chapter 26 took place in Caesarea back in the year A.D. 60. Porcius Festus had succeeded Felix, that you read about in the previous chapter, as procurator of Judea. That was way back during the time when Nero was the emperor of Rome. We read about Herod Agrippa. He had been appointed king over another portion of the Holy Land by Claudius and was ruling there. Paul, the third person in this text, had remained a prisoner in Caesarea for over 2 years. Now we find all three of them together in this setting. There is Festus, there's Agrippa, and there is Paul. Now, in the context of these verses, the Jewish elders had been stirred up to a bloodthirsty rage again against Christianity. They still wanted to kill Paul, just as they had crucified Jesus, just as they had stoned Stephen, and just as James had been killed. However, they needed the Roman government's permission because they did not have the authority themselves to execute Paul. Paul had given his testimony in defense in Acts chapter 24 before Felix, and in Acts 25 before Festus. And now, since King Agrippa has come down to visit with Festus, they bring Paul in, and Festus says to Agrippa, I want you to hear him. Hear what he has to say. And so in this semi-private meeting, the Apostle Paul is given the liberty to speak freely. And, of course, his defense turns into a sermon. And he once again gives the account of his conversion to Christ on the road to Damascus and his commission from the Lord to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. These men listened intently to what Paul had to say. And as he spoke, each man formed his own individual separate opinion as to what Paul was speaking about. And all three of these men left that meeting with three different persuasions that we want to discuss this morning. First of all, we have the words of Festus in verse 24. Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." And by mad, he meant crazy. He didn't mean just angry, but he meant you're mad, you're insane. So Festus, his opinion was that Christianity is insanity. Festus was like most powerful, influential individuals today. And we have a lot of them in our country. He knew little or nothing about Christianity. He felt no need of religion. He was a pagan, and he regarded religion as a weakness. And he considered it with contempt. It was unworthy of the attention of a man of his stature. He listened to Paul, heard what he had to say, but his spiritually darkened mind turned away from the truth. And finally, he had heard enough. He interrupted Paul. "Thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." That's like saying, "Paul, you're crazy." His opinion was that all of the stuff that Paul was talking about, sin, punishment, salvation, that's all insanity. He heard that Paul had once lived a privileged life, but he gave it up to be a preacher, all because he heard a man who had reportedly died years earlier speaking to him from the side of the road. And so he said, "Paul, you may not be a criminal, but you are a lunatic to believe all of that junk." That's still prevalent today. This past week, I had occasion to watch O'Reilly as he was interviewing some guy that's head of the Atheist Association in America, and hearing him say that religion and God and all of this stuff is just a bunch of malarkey. Nothing to it. So the spirit of Festus is not dead. There are multitudes of people today who are of the same opinion that you and I are crazy for what we believe and how we live. They live with nothing else to care for but the physical, nothing to gain but possessions, and no world to prepare for except this one. They live their life with no thought of eternity or the life to come. Their only God is themselves. and their Bible is their own vain intelligence and will. And they think you are insane. You refuse to work on Sunday. You don't laugh at their dirty jokes. You don't go to their bars and dance clubs. You don't smoke cigarettes, drink whiskey, use drugs, or gamble. You're faithful to your spouse, and yet you're the one that's insane. You don't support their homosexual agenda. You oppose abortion. You go to church. You put your children in a Christian school. You pray before you eat. You don't listen to worldly music. You dress with modesty and decency. You pay your bills. You don't lie, cuss, cheat, or steal. And yet you are the one that's insane. You believe the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. You believe that He rose from the dead and that He's coming again. You believe that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and you are the one that's insane. Not Festus. Agrippa, he's a little different. Paul addressed him personally. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now Herod Agrippa is nothing like Festus at all. He'd been brought up around the Jews, and he was familiar with their customs and with their religious beliefs. He understood Paul's message. He knew what Paul was talking about. He was convinced and convicted that there was truth in what he was hearing Paul say. So Agrippa listened intently to what Paul was saying. Paul was preaching the gospel, and there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. His old hardened heart began to soften. He can feel a strange stirring within his soul. The Holy Spirit was working on his heart. He wanted to believe what Paul was saying about Jesus. He was almost there. But wait a minute. I'm a king. What would happen if I embraced Christianity as my religion? I'm ruling over Jews. I'm the ruler over these people out here who are crying for Paul's blood. They want me to kill him. I have my position to think about. There's too much at stake. I might lose my job. I might get recalled by Caesar. I might lose the respect of my superiors. I might lose this easy life. What would happen to me if I became a Christian? He was almost persuaded, but not fully. He was so close, but yet so far away. One of the greatest tragedies of life is for a person to be almost saved. Many people have stood on the threshold of heaven. They have looked through the open door, and it has been revealed to them the glories of the hereafter. They've seen what God has to offer, but they turned away. Just a few minutes ago in our Sunday school class, we were studying about a rich young ruler in Matthew who had come to Jesus. But instead of going away happy, he went away sorrowful, for he had much riches. He had a glimpse inside the door, but he didn't enter in. He turned away. And how terrible it is when a person hears the word of God preached and trembles under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've seen them stand during invitations and grip the back of the pew until their knuckles turn white. And then when the invitation is over, they walk out the doors, almost persuaded, but not fully convinced. Almost persuaded, but lost. Yes, during my ministry, I've seen many Agrippas. They have no objection to the truth of the gospel. They know the difference between right and wrong, between truth and heresy. And they actually admire the convictions of godly people. They respect the Bible as the Word of God. They may even give appeasement offerings to the cause of Christ. But the inconvenience of confessing Christ stops them at the threshold, and they go no further. They desire the life of Christ, but they're not willing to bear the cross of Christ. Perhaps a more convenient season will come. Agrippa stood there at the threshold of the door of salvation and turned away. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in," that means to cross the threshold, "he shall be saved." But Agrippa did not enter in. And when Paul walked out of that court, the Holy Spirit walked out of Agrippa's life, and he died without Christ and went out into eternity unsaved. Almost persuaded. Because Christianity for him was inconvenient. But Paul said that Christianity is imperative. As he looks at these men, and there were others in the room, he said to them in verse 29, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." What a paradox. Two men in power. One in chains. But the one in chains is in the more desirable state. I'd rather be in his shoes than in the shame, in the shoes of those other guys. Two men with every material possession that they could desire. They had position, they had power, they had prestige. And one had nothing. But the poorest of them is in the more desirable state. Two men are surrounded with their friends and their admirers. One man stands alone. But the one who stands alone is in the more desirable state because he's not really alone. His words are the words of a man who was thoroughly convinced that he was right. There's no hesitation in his voice. There's no doubt in his soul. His is the language of a man who knows whom he has believed and is persuaded that nothing, as he says, neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God, he says. He has no question about the merit of the claims of Christ. He has no doubts about the truth of the Scripture. He has no fear of the future state of his soul because he knows who he's believed. Now, which one of these three men would you more identify with today? Would it be Festus, who says that the church and religion and Christianity is for wimps and sissies and weaklings? Or Agrippa, a man who believes but will not openly confess Christ and will not identify with Christ are these people that are called Christians? Or Paul, who is sold out for Christ, who is proud to be a Christian, who's unashamed to confess him before men. Shall we stand together with our heads bowed in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that the Holy Spirit has written down these things in the Bible. We thank you that we have the illustration before us of these three men. One who is an avowed atheist. One who is almost persuaded to be a Christian. And one who is sold out for Christ. Heavenly Father, help us today to evaluate our own relationship with you. And if we're not satisfied with what we see and what we find in our hearts and lives, help us right now to make the right choice. Today we have once again sort of had a glimpse through that door as to what you have for us and what you can do for us. But we must by faith step across that threshold and enter into the blessings that you have for those who will commit themselves to you. So today, Heavenly Father, speak to hearts. And draw men and women to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
484.
Number 484. Let's have a verse of invitation. Attention that you gave to the preaching of the Word of God today, and I appreciate you, each one of you individually that are here. I appreciate the display of love, affection, and thanksgiving that you've given to me and to my family. And what a joy it's been to serve the Lord here in this place with you, His people, these many years. I told someone a little while ago that if I had my life to live over, I don't think I would change a thing. God is good. And I love you today. You're precious to me. You are what it's all about. There's a good dinner out there, I'm sure, that's been prepared. And I want you to enter into the joy of the occasion with me today. The greatest birthday present that a person can have is to be among his friends and his loved ones. And that's what you are today to me. Remember our services tonight, too, and come out and be with us in that evening service. Wednesday evening, we have a Bible study here at 6 o'clock, and we're studying the life of Solomon. My, what a guy. And we'll invite you out to all of those services. So as we're dismissed from this service in prayer this morning, we'll ask God's blessing upon the refreshments, the food that's been provided out there, and eat your fill and enjoy fellowship with one another.